Addresses by the beloved Lady Master Astria and the beloved Lady Master Diana. Introduction. This is lovingly dedicated to the beloved Lady Masters Astria and Diana, whose kindly and selfless individual services have, since the fall of man, continuously dissolved the impure thought and feeling forms created by mankind through the destructive use of free will. It is our hope that sincere students will cooperate with these beautiful and gracious beings, first by invoking their purifying rays through their own four lower bodies to dissolve the cause and core of all capacity to create and sustain imperfect thought forms, and second, by invoking their cosmic activity of the circle and sword of blue flame and purifying fire in, through, and around all mass creations of imperfection of every kind, that they may be dissolved before they can act, approach, or manifest as distress ever again. Thomas Prince, Editor. Address by Beloved Astria, 1955. Children of the One Eternal God, I have come in answer to the heart call of the people of Earth, and particularly at the request of the conscious students of life, for the purpose of cleansing and purifying the astral and psychic realms of the effluvia that has been spewed forth into the atmosphere through the creative centers, thought, and feeling of man for many, many ages. Due to the scales which mankind has made before his physical sight, he is not aware of the evils he has created through his individual experimentation with the creative powers of thought and feeling in his various embodiments through the long ages. Little does he know also of the thought forms spawned in the secret recesses of his human mind, which have escaped the confines of his consciousness and float out into the atmosphere of the planet on which he dwells. There these thought forms remain until they are drawn by the power of magnetization or the activity of like seeking like into strata of similarly vibrating substance. This discordantly qualified energy forms itself into strata, one piled on top of the other, like the layers of a cake, each stratum vibrating according to the quality of which it is composed, and growing larger and larger as more of mankind dwell, either secretly or openly, upon the thoughts of impurity, passion, greed, etc. People indulging in these activities not only add to the mass effluvia of the planet, but by the power of thought tune into the stratum vibrating at the same rate as that which they are generating at the time, and draw its mass evil into their own beings and worlds. They are held responsible by cosmic law for the injurious effect their action has upon the thought processes of their fellow men who do not know how to protect themselves from these tramp thoughts that are continually floating in the atmosphere, or how to control the process of constructive thinking and feeling. Very few of the people of Earth today, beloved friends, know how to use the creative centers of thought and feeling for which they were created. That is, to draw from the divine intelligence at the heart of the universe through the indwelling Christ self, magnificent ideas and fashion those ideas into form. Very few such ideas are ever magnetized by mankind in general from the great central source. Far easier is it for men to absorb through the outer senses, through the written page, through the radio and television, and through all the other types of outer pressure of learning and so-called education, those thoughts and ideas that have been used before. It is easier far to accept as a pattern for the thinking man already established dogmas and credos, religions and scientific expressions, than it is to shake the mind free of all the imperfection that has been and return to the source of creation for truth. That truth can only come through incarnate life streams who, repudiating the discordant effluvia of the masses and the half-truths that have not brought freedom to the individual or the planet, will stand within the flame of their own I Am presence, call forth those divine ideas of wisdom and balance, and then have the strength and tenacity to hold those thoughts and ideas within their hearts until the Holy Spirit has breathed life and enthusiasm into them in the feelings. When those divine ideas have been matured in the silence before they are presented to the world, you have not theory then, beloved ones, but indisputable fact for the blessing of the race. How many inspirations, how many great inventions, how many cosmic truths have come forth from the universal into the minds of the few who are willing to stand above the masses. Yet how many of these blessings have been lost because those few could not or would not follow through by taking that truth or inspiration, holding it within the light of the Christ, breathing upon it the fire of constancy, and then manifesting it to the world as fact. Instead, those fortunate enough to receive these divine ideas did not hold them long enough in secret, or perhaps they shared them while they were yet in the embryonic stage with others, and so lost the idea through negative radiation. So it is, beloved ones, that the beautiful world orders and golden ages perceived within the raised consciousnesses of the few have not materialized in these later ages. Why? The answer is simply because the ideas, unprotected by the ego who should have guarded and sheltered them, were torn to shreds as a carcass is torn by a pack of wolves, by lesser minds before the ephemeral vision could be clothed in a substance of the etheric world and lowered through emotional stability and balance into the world of form. In the physical world, you either have the man who will not think, who prefers, to use your modern terminology, to be brainwashed by the particular sect, cult, ism, religious or governmental credo to which he belongs, or you have the man who wants to be a so-called individualist, pursuing an obstinate and dominating policy. I would counsel you to follow the example of the gracious Madonna, dear ones, and keep those things in your hearts until they have come to maturity in the secret place and be born of their own volition into the world of form. Again and again, children of earth, I call for the middle way, that is, the path between the too credulous acceptance of half-truths and the rash experimentation with so-called cosmic truths, unverified by practical experience. Bring these things together in the light of your own holy Christ self, and, after you have had the manifest expression, then can you face all men. One of your great inventors could have talked for years about his ideas of harnessing the power of electricity with very little effect upon or enthusiasm from the masses. Instead, he pursued the more practical method of waiting until he had first brought them into manifest expression. Then there was no need for him to talk, because his ideas, completed in physical form, spoke for themselves. Jesus, that great and mighty exemplar of perfection, could have publicly proclaimed his messiahship. Instead, he lived it. Through him, the dead arose, the sick were made well, the blind were made to see, and the deaf to hear. He coupled his private comradeship with God with practical manifestation in the world of form. And when he began his public ministry, he was the magnificence of the Messiah in action. Beloved friends, tonight we come into the atmosphere of Earth with but one purpose and one design: to clear the atmosphere, as well as your own inner bodies and auras, of the tramp thoughts and feelings which form the blanket of energy men breathe in and accept as part of their own thinking processes. All over this planet, there are individuals and groups of conscious students whose force fields, like pinpoints of light in the darkness of the astral world, are calling for the mass purification of the race, as well as the individual mental and feeling bodies of the people. Through the open doors of these force fields come the angelic legions at our command, the Elohim of purity and myself, and go north, south, east, and west to transmute and remove those pressures of existing thought and feeling forms of impurity of every kind. Why, you ask, have not these thought forms become disintegrated in the atmosphere? Because they are being constantly entertained and nourished secretly in the minds and feelings of the men and women of the race. You see, dear ones, a thought form dissolves more or less quickly unless it is consciously invited into some human mind and fed by feeling. Eventually, through the service of the angel of purification, an unfed thought form is dissolved and returned to primal essence, where it can be used again by the great source that wastes not even the most infinitesimal portion of God's precious life essence. However, when impure thoughts and feelings of sex, greed, selfishness, or any other discord you might name are entertained by some members of the race, they live. The moment the last member of the race ceases to sustain the strata in which these discordant forms abide, by adding to them his own similarly qualified energy, that moment those mass blankets of evil will cease to be. Now, I am the divine complement of the Elohim of purity. Therefore, it is the most natural activity in the world for us to render, in unison, this service of the cosmic purification through the mental, emotional, etheric, and physical bodies of the mankind of this earth. Sometimes the so-called intellectual members of the race seem amazed that we serve in more than one capacity. For your illumination, allow me to tell you that the beloved Diana, who will speak to you immediately following my address, is the divine complement of Arcturus, Elohim of the Violet Fire. There are many life streams on earth who carry the same name. Many ladies are called Agnes, Beatrice, or Cecilia. Likewise, in heaven, there are many great beings who bear the name of Nada, and many who carry the name of Diana. In our service, one with another, dear ones, let us not become so amazed when some being steps out, shall we say, of the niche in which the mental concept of the people of earth has placed him or her. Perhaps we have more fluidic motion and versatility than you give us credit for. Perhaps we work on more rays than one. Did we not tell you that one must be master of all the seven rays before one could qualify to become a Mahachohan? O lovely ones, we do not stand, thank God, within the narrow box into which we have been placed by our well-meaning, unascended friends, some of whom, at least, I am happy to say, have had the discrimination and intuition to discern our reality and presence in the universal. We are God-free beings who work at will on any ray or in any service. Common sense, beloved ones, will tell you that. If you are a first-ray person and you are aware of a need for healing, do you sit down with folded hands and say, "Oh, you must have a sixth-ray man to do that healing"? Then stand by and let the patient die? That is not common sense, is it? Of course, one may have a momentum of first-ray power. One may be a specialist upon the specific line, but one can operate, I should not have to tell you that, on many rays. As below, so above. We are specialists, too, in our particular service. The service of the beloved Claire, the Elohim of purity, and myself is the transmutation and purification of the energies of the earth, its atmosphere, and its people. Here the beloved Helios and Vesta directed us to serve, and here have we abided from the beginning of the creation of the planet, holding the perfection of design that those great beings have visualized for this earth. beloved Helios and Vesta designed this system themselves. They placed that design and pattern in the heart of the Silent Watcher. The seven Elohim, with their complements, then chose to look upon that design cosmically and created the planet Earth through our own particularly specialized activity, using care always to observe the divine courtesy of deferring to the will of Helios and Vesta, who designed it in the first place. The courtesy of the Elohim might well be imitated by the people of Earth in relation to their association one with another, and may I add, in the case of so-called advanced life streams, to the great beings who govern these activities. Now, when we chose to create this planet, we were beings who had worked on other stars and planets. Mind you, we had seen galaxies so large that your blessed sun would seem no larger than the head of a pin in comparison. We had seen golden ages, vast continents, great temples, and mighty beings, the like of which I cannot describe to you in words. Yet not one of the seven Elohim said, "Let us add a temple from the realms of Alpha and Omega. Let us create a continent like the ones we have seen in the realms of Isis and Osiris." Nor did we say, "We have just come from the Milky Way, where there is a truly magnificent planet. Let us make the vegetation here yellow like it is on that." No, it would be ridiculous, would it not? The Elohim of purity, within the strength of his cosmic heart, held the original pattern of the God parents unchanged. Every gentle rolling hill, every peaked mountain, every beautiful sea was designed to the smallest detail as Helios and Vesta wanted it, not as I or Arcturus or any of the other Elohim wanted it. Courtesy, the particular virtue of the seventh ray, is manifested in the Elohimic builders, is manifested in every sun of the system, is manifested in nature, but alas, is little manifested in man. What in the name of heaven, beloved ones, is man's soul or consciousness but an accretion of human concepts? Think of it. Unascended man, who has not mastered his four lower bodies, yet faces the Godhead in defiance of the divine will. We come now into the atmosphere of Earth with one purpose in mind, to render a service of purification to the evolving life upon it. Through your acceptance of our presence, our radiation flows into every sanctuary, every group director and student of life, into the leaders and members of every religious organization, into all constructive secular organizations, and through the mental and emotional bodies of all mankind, as well as into the animal and nature kingdoms, with the fully gathered cosmic power of the Elohim of purity and myself, Astrea. In that power, we say to all impure creation, "Let go, let go, let go. Be thou dissolved. Return thou to the purity of primal life essence. Arise, and by the power of the flame of transmutation, ascend thou to the throne of Helios and Vesta with a plea for forgiveness from the mankind of Earth, that the pure substance which they entrusted to them to complete their divine plan in beauty and perfection should have been so defiled and debased in shadow. Beloved Helios and Vesta, the godparents of the system, have given the very substance of their lives to their creation. They have conferred upon the life streams whom they drew forth from the realm of the great first cause their own intelligence and creative power, and have said to them, "Go forth, children of our hearts, and weave out of our life essence happiness and contentment for yourselves. Make of the beautiful planet, which has been prepared so lovingly for you, a shining orb, a place of peace and joy, a true habitat for angel and God. Let its radiation flow into the interstellar space, making a happy contribution to the harmony and music of the other stars and spheres." As the babe nurtured in the womb of the earthly mother is part of her life substance, so is the energy we are redeeming now, part of the body of beloved Helios and Vesta. Oh, the dark shroud that their beautiful, bright planet wears today is more than a reproach to the humanity evolving upon it. I should like to stand so facing those great and beneficent beings of love, and if it were possible, never let them know what has happened to their shining hopes, their happy dreams, and their bright visions. But because the substance that has been so defiled is part of their own body, they well know what has happened to it. O peoples of the earth, how have you repaid this unspeakable love? As I stand here in the atmosphere of earth, I am drawing into my own cosmic body of light the currents of impure substance from every part of its surface. And when it passes through my aura, it is transmuted into its own bright nature and returned, rejoicing, to the heart of beloved Helios and Vesta for repolarization. Thank you, beloved ones, for your attention. I now retire in favor of my beloved sister Diana, complement of Arcturus, who will address you. God bless you.